Dominion City Tapes Ministry, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. One word from God is all you need to turn your life around. Listen and be blessed.
What really makes a person a leader? What makes a person a leader? Is it the skills, the eloquence, the talents, all that? No. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. It's a value system. And they said, leadership is 20% skill, talents, training, and techniques, and 80% attitude. That's what Miles Monroe calls the spirit of leadership. You can have ability, and another person who doesn't have is beating you in the game because all he has is attitude. You can have a team with the most talented people, and yet they keep losing the game. Why? Because of bad attitude. And if a leader doesn't have the right attitude, he can't lead, because that his dampened or rotten attitude spreads to the team, spreads to the church, spreads to the people. Everything rises and falls on leadership. You see, this element called spirit or attitude is contagious. It's like perfume. Bringing one person with bad attitude into a team, if you don't check him, he will spread that thing. It could be a critical spirit. Before long, he will spread it. When a leader doesn't have morale, he doesn't have a personal drive, he doesn't have commitment to excellence, he doesn't have doggedness of mind. The Bible said it is the violent that takes that kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. If you don't insist on what you want out of life, you will get anything that life dishes out to you. You don't give me anything. All leaders don't see obstacles. The leadership spirit is a spirit of possibility. That is what the Bible calls a different spirit. That's the two things that were found in Joshua and Caleb. That means of all the 12 spies sent, there were only two leaders. Now, do you know that it is said that the only 2% of the human family ends up achieving true leadership? Why? Majority are bound by this crippling spirit called wrong attitude. Majority are bound by it. Because attitude is the disposition of the heart, which now determines behavior and action. And because it is a salient thing, a subjective thing, people hardly see it. So you see what is the person is doing, but you know that the behavior is being controlled by something more deadly. Have you ever met somebody, you notice that there is something wrong with the person, yet there is nothing he has done? As we study and try to build leaders and pillars who are going to be carrying this vision to nation, there are certain people, when you come to their case, there is just something wrong. Yet you can't put your hands on what they have done. It is the heart. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind simply means change the attitudes of your heart. Until there is a general change, there is no conversion yet. No matter how much knowledge you have in your head. Attitude is a mindset. I taught it in the church the other time. I called it the power of perception or mental programming. It's a mindset. It's a perception. It's a programming. You see two people pass through the door. One notices that the door has been opened, the air condition is blowing out. He closes the door. Another leader passes and walks away and leaves that door open and leaves this AC being damaged. He is not a leader, he is a slave. When you see a leader with the right leadership spirit, they have personal initiatives. If you give them a work to do, they don't stop at what they are told to do. They take it further. They break frontiers because they are creative on themselves. They are creative. They are creative. They are innovative. And innovation means thinking out solutions to problems. When it comes to the area of discipline, they don't wait for people to be correcting them, pushing them around. They have self-imposed standards, values. So because of that, you don't catch them. You don't catch them. What are they doing with? Bible says the fruit of the Spirit are these. After mentioning it, it says against such, there is no law. That's what such people live by. You come, when you are making laws and saying, if anyone comes late, we are going to punish you this way. It's not for such people. The law is for the lawless. It's not for. Leaders have internal principles that govern their lives. You don't have to start probing them to see. There are such people like Daniel, such people like Joseph, that there was no need to probe. Even when he gets into prison, after a while, the prison warden realizes that this is not a prisoner. Leave him alone. To when if he wants to go and buy something, leave him to buy, because he will come back on his own. You don't need to tie him with rope. A normal prisoner escapes, you are in trouble, he's going to escape. This one, he can go outside, buy something without security and come back on his own. He is self-regulated. That's a leader, my friend. That's a leader. The leadership mentality is the possibility mentality. The leadership mentality is a responsibility mentality. Possibility mentality is called the spirit of faith. It doesn't see failures. It doesn't make room for excuses, for failure. It doesn't see obstacles. He sees giants, he calls them bread, will chew them. That's why they don't come back with a story of how they failed. They stay there till they conquer the obstacle. That is the spirit that gets God committed. Whenever he sees the other one, why do you think he took them through the wilderness? To remove that Egyptian mentality in them. The slavery mentality. The follower mentality. Because this is a nation that is raised to change other nations. God told them, you shall be the head and not the tail. And see how they are carrying about their life. And when he couldn't change their attitudes, he killed all of them. What destroyed the children of Israel was attitude. That's why, I don't know if you have read the Gospels, you know that Jesus paid more attention to the heart than to any other thing. Because that is the seed of your mindset, your belief system. Your subconscious mind is what is ruling your life. That's what shapes your worldview. You don't see things the way they are. You see them the way you are. The attitudes of your heart colors your perception of life. It colors your perception. So to produce the man that can accomplish God's vision, God has to first alter the attitudes of your heart. He has to change it. He has to put that dominion spirit in there. He said, because my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit, he will enter into that land of promise. And because Joshua, the son of Nun, because he also had a different spirit. One other time I read something about Joshua. God was talking to Moses about succession. He said, pick Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit. Then lay your hands upon him, put some of your honor or anointing upon him, that the people might be obedient. And I was confused. I said, a man in whom is the spirit? If he already has the spirit, why are you putting the spirit on him? God said, the two spirits are not the same. The one Moses was putting was power, anointing. The one Joshua had was attitude. Find the man with the right attitude and give him an empowerment, and the people will be obedient. The most dangerous thing you can do, and I want to say it as you appoint leaders, Solomon said, there is a mistake, an evil that I've seen under the sun. A folly is a mistake which proceeds from leaders. So I've noticed that it is leaders that keep making that mistake. According to Solomon, he said, you see princes on foot while slaves are riding on horses. So what the man is saying that is actually a leader that appointed that slave and did not recognize the one that is a true leader. He says it's a mistake, an evil I've seen under the sun. And that fully is a foolishness that proceeds from leadership. Let me tell you, the most dangerous thing you can do is to put a man in power who doesn't have the right spirit, the right attitude. Where does this attitude come from? It comes from a sense of purpose. When a man has realized that his life has significance, that he is alive for a reason, that God put him there for a reason, it changes his attitude to work, to leadership, to everything, to life. Once you discover a sense of purpose, if you keep thinking you are working for somebody and keep thinking you are just here playing, you will not end up a leader. You see, your purpose gives you significance. It gives you self-esteem. Your esteem comes from your sense of purpose. It comes from your sense of significance. You know that I'm needed in this team. I am the goalkeeper. Nobody can take my place because nobody can do what God has called me to do. What God has placed in me, he has not placed in any other. That thing secures you. It gives you security. Because of that, you have the right attitude to life. Where does insecurity come from? Where does low self-esteem come from? It doesn't matter what you do. When you finish doing, I still know who I am. Second thing, the right attitude comes from knowing who you are. If you don't get the right picture of your identity in Christ, I know you've been preaching it. It doesn't mean anything to me. It is not what is your mind.
that changes you. It is what is in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your heart is the seat of your personality. Your heart is the seat of your consciousness. The bank of all your experiences, all your memories, all the things that you have learned, that is where you store, the storehouse. It is from there you behave without knowing. So attitude affects you silently. You are doing things you can't, sometimes you, but the power that is actually shaping why you are thinking the way you are thinking, taking the steps you are taking, is inside. Sometimes you are correcting a person. He can't see what is wrong with him. He has problem with you. What have I done now? He can't see it. If you give him a mirror, he looks. He can't see any problem. Why? The problem is not the conscious mind. The problem is the subconscious mind. A person with the wrong attitude can still do everything right and still end up with the wrong result. You can have somebody who says the right words, but he passes the wrong message. You have to be careful of people who infest your church and your team with the wrong spirit. You have to deal with it. Attitude grows when it is exposed to people. It's like seed. Once it is planted in other people, it compounds, it multiplies like yeast. And before long, how did Lucifer get one third of the angel? He just passed that spirit. And then before we knew it, like cancer, it spread. Get one person in a team who is diligent early, or who does what. One day reward him in the presence of the team. You will see how that attitude will spread to others. Because people copy attitudes from their peers. People learn it by association. Attitudes are not what you are born with. There are things you acquired in life, in the course of your upbringing. Those you are negative, I don't think it's God that gave it to you. There are things you acquire. Attitudes are learned behavior. But they are not just conscious behavior. They are mental programming, mindsets that you have developed over time. And whenever you want to change it, don't expect change. But you have to make a decision and reprogram yourself over time again. You get the right kind of information and you keep bombarding your mind with it. You start listening to the right kind of message. You keep associating with the right kind of people. You stay away from people who encourage that negative behavior and attitude for your life. And you stay with the right people. Over time, you just notice that you have been reprogrammed. But it happens through repetition and through constant meditation. Because it is a heart you are changing, not the mind. So it's a process of downloading information from the mind to the heart. When I was teaching it in church, I even drew pictures for them. You might even find it. God bless Susa Keba Shula. I drew pictures for them. Let me use this. Look at. These are your five senses. This is your mind. This is your heart. This is the storehouse. Your attitudes were acquired from outside. You observe people. You learn from your parents. Your primary role models. Your environment, your social status. Because, for example, being born in poverty can program you with a poverty mentality. But another person can be born in the sense of the kingly mentality. His poverty is converted to a driving force. The reason why he can never tolerate poverty in his life. The reason why, because he has seen what his parents went through. So he creates a driving force that gives him a spirit of vision and drive that he's going to conquer this thing. Meanwhile, another person, he creates a damaging impact on his mentality. He goes about in life begging, you know, because my parents, just blaming everybody, blaming society, blaming his parents, blame for all the woes that happened to him. Meanwhile, another person gets a fighting spirit that he's going to change this situation and be the one to help his parents. Everything begins from the five senses. So you have the eyes, the mouth, all the senses through which you acquire information. But the problem is the senses are like funnel, so they empty into the mind. And at this point, decisions are made because the mind has a sieve. It has a sieve, a filter. The mind has a filter. So there are some things you hear, you throw it away. You argue against it and throw it away. The mind has a filter. So when experiences happen to you, you have a choice to decide the impact it will leave on you. Because it's not what happens to you that damages you. It's your attitude to what happens to you. It's what you think about it. When you hear something, your mind chooses which one to accept and which one not to accept. Some people keep just taking everything. They don't check. After a while, they damage this their sieve. They damage their filter so much that anything can go. And you know, this filter is to protect your heart. Oh, because whatever crosses in here, where is he heading to? Your heart. And if he has entered your heart, he has entered your life. is going to appear in your behavior, whether you are aware of it or not. As I see people who say, I'm going to live a holy life and keep watching negative movies, filthy films. You are joking. When you are going to be taking some action, you won't even be aware of how you got yourself there. I can't understand how I got myself here, how I was able to do this. I even shocked myself. No, it's not a shock. It's a programming that took place over time. Whatever gets in here becomes a program. This is called the subconscious mind. The danger of the heart is that what is here is not easy to change. It's not like you decide now and say, it's over, and remove it from your head. No. It's in your blood, your spiritual bloodstream. It's in your spiritual bloodstream. Demons can't influence you here. They try to program you here. If you accept the programming, it drops in here. And once it drops in here, you can cast out that devil. He can go. And you will still be behaving like what he taught you. You can still be behaving like that devil. You can actually remove him and send him to America, bind him for 1,000 years, and you will still be behaving like him. That's why we say that satanic programming is more dangerous than Satan's powers, what Satan can do. Because his programming is harder to deal with. And you don't deal with his programming with anointing or power. You deal with it by information again. The same way you were programmed, you can delete all the information on this, your hard disk. But it's not going to be an instant job. But it's going to be a proactive, a deliberate action. Which if you don't do, you die the way you are. Some of you, for example, have a mindset. Your mindset says, I don't deserve good things. When something powerful or good happens to you, something here tells you, you don't really deserve it. You don't. Who should deserve it? Who should? Is it not God's property, God's big world? The earth is the Lord and his fullness thereof. So who did he made all the fullness for? And it's because of that self-concept, self-picture. That's why you are not a giver. If you want to give prophets something, you look for stupid things and give to. Because what is it? You don't even have value for yourself. Why is it that I want everybody to have cars, even have jets, even have that? The most dangerous thing you do is to give power to a person with damaged self-image. What he turns that power into is oppression. You can see the problem of African nations. You can even see the reason why the devil is an oppressor. His image of himself has been damaged by the fall. So the power he gets is for oppressing, intimidating, and manipulating people. When you are carrying a poor self-image, when you are carrying a poor, you know, self-esteem, like I was teaching one time, I said, one king, this true story, a king, a dwarf king, he makes everybody lie down. And when he is standing up, everybody must bend down. If your height catches up with his height, they remove your head. He gets his self-esteem by reducing other people's height. The problem is, he hasn't increased your height. That's what happens to people who are sick inside. It's a sickness. It's a soul sickness. It's a sickness of the soul. That's what gives birth to oppression in leadership. Because a true leader has a spirit of empowerment. He wants everybody to go up. He is placed in power to change the lot of the people. That's why you can gather 12 people and start training them. Teach them all the skills, relational skills, communication skills, all the different skills of leadership. At the end of the day, you see, get few leaders. Because until we address the heart, you have not addressed the heart of leadership. Until we address attitude, you have not started creating leaders. You have to change your self-concept. How do you see yourself? What picture do you have of yourself? You have to change your self-image. You have to change your self-esteem. How do you feel about yourself? Do you like yourself? You don't. You have a problem. There is a damaged self-concept. You know, self-esteem creates self-respect. There are some things you don't do. There are some things you don't do. There are some people who can't even sit down and be saying nonsense with. It will be too big for your mouth. You can't do that. You mean I'll just call one of these guys now and sit down here and be saying what? You know where I'll have to climb down from to be able to say, it's too big. I'm telling you, listen to God when he talks about himself. He's healthy self-esteem. That's how a believer should be talking. That is different from boasting. And all these positive messages, new creation messages, all of them is designed to cure this person's self-image. Call them, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You, God knows the day your attitude corrects, your behavior will change. He knows that. God changes people from inside out. He knows if you can correct the heart, the man's actions will change. If you don't correct it, and you are walking on the person from outside, he will not walk. The children of Israel is an example. Do's and don't change people. Attitudinal change is the key to correcting behaviors. When you have self-respect, self-dignity, you won't want to come late. You know why? Coming late has a lot of problems. You face disgrace. They stand you up. Why do you like getting yourself in? I don't like begging. I hate disorder. So you won't find me cursing. If I have come late to a program, the way I will behave myself, I don't just walk up to the front, disturbing the minister. Sometimes I even sit at the back, even where I'm guest minister. One time I got to Jos as guest minister, just landed from the airport. Somebody was, he said, no, just come. I told him, no, my friend. He said, no, just come. I said, my friend, if I'm the one there, I won't want anybody. Look at all the entourage. Sit down here after that message in Talud, I will walk in. It's not just that I have respect for the guy. I have respect for myself because while you're walking, everyone looking at you. Why are you coming by now? You can't explain to everybody. When you have the right self-concept, you won't be going about begging all. Easy pastor, collect granite from member, collect this, take your coke, drink. Staff is drinking coke. Staff will be drinking, you collect points or drink, whatever. You a slave, my friend. Correct that thing in your head. They will leave. You see where they will be discussing. Please, can you give me half of your wealth? Oh, half of the leader. No, he's not the leader. He's not the leader. It is this attitude that sends signal. Like every other attitude is contagious, that sends signals and tells people, queue up, follow. What separates the leader from the followers? Attitude. You notice this person, whenever he walks in, order comes in. Whenever he walks in, he takes responsibility. Whenever he walks in, there is initiative, things start happening. Watch that person. He is the leader in the system. I don't care who is occupying the position. A man in power may be a puppet or a tyrant. He has a positive mental attitude, so he inspires other people to follow. The programming and the reprogramming of your heart is a deliberate job. It's a deliberate job. The key is repetition. You keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until it sinks. You see what I was talking the other day? Somebody was preaching faith without the spirit of faith. What he was talking about was coming from his head. It was not for his heart. I've always told myself this. Any message on paper that is not in me is still not my message. You know what I use paper to do? To organize my thoughts. Not to know what to say. Because you can jump from 1 to 5. By looking at it, you can just follow things in order. 2 is that sometimes you can skip things. So you can just remind yourself of it. But the real message has to be in the tape recorder here. If I've recorded it in my tape, put it in, preaching it or play, it starts. And in programming a message into your hard disk, meditation helps. Hearing that message over and over again or studying it over and over again helps. Also sharing it. I use my house, my family, as the immediate constituents to practice my message. So when I get it, I sit with them and share it. Because once you start sharing something, you start discussing it, you start downloading. A small group is very good for developing messages. If you don't have a cell group you run, turn your family into a cell. Apart from that, you should have a team of leaders you talk to every week. You are trying to develop. When you discuss something, it digests, it breaks down into assimilatable units. Your spirit start taking it in. It comes in a way that your spirit understands it and can hold it. So that the day you preach, it is now your message. It's not just something you crammed. Because something can go wrong when you get there and you can be destabilized if you cram something. The training of the human heart is the key to leadership. Not the acquiring of head skills. Sometimes you finish learning those skills, it turns you into a manipulator because you are conscious of relational skills. Okay, this is the way you do it so that people will respond this way. You just be a manipulator. When it is in your heart, is you. You keep doing it. You do it unconsciously. It's now part of your nature. Because the heart is the seat of your nature. So whenever you assimilate something there, it joins your nature. That's why you have to be careful of wrong attitudes. And the wounds you have, you set a program to correct it, delete those information and correct it and imbibe the right ones. It's a deliberate act. It's a deliberate act. Attitudes are learned and they can be changed. They are learned. They are learned through observation, through association, through what you are hearing, through what you are saying, and so on and so forth. They are learned through training, through upbringing. And they can be changed. Caleb, my servant, because he had a different spirit, he will enter into the land that I promised him. These other leaders, because they had the wrong attitude, the spirit of Caleb is called the spirit of possibility, the spirit of faith. The other one, because they had those slavery mentality, they would die in this wilderness. You see, somebody said, an army of lions led by a sheep will be defeated by an army of sheep led by a lion. So who is leading matters. You have to work on yourself, because the potential of the whole people under you can be hindered by what you are doing. You don't believe in achieving anything. How can they achieve? You don't believe in the Red Sea dividing. How can they? They will be trapped there. You don't believe in conquering Canaan. How can they enter? Everything rises and falls on leadership. So the leadership attitude is very, very important. There is a way leaders think. There is a way leaders think. So you have to marry the responsibilities of leadership with the attitudes of leadership. That's when you can become a true leader. There is a way leaders think. You have to develop that kind of mentality. These giants shall be bred unto us, for their defense is taken away from them. All we need to do is not to rebel against the Lord. For if the Lord be pleased with us, he will surely give us this land. When God appeared to Joshua at the beginning of his ministry, after the death of Moses, and he was talking to him, be bold and very courageous. He was telling him, imbibe the spirit of leadership. You have got the position, but you must imbibe the spirit. If not, your mission will be impossible. Be bold and very courageous. For I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. No one shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Don't be intimidated by the big position you have stepped into, the big shoe, the Moses shoe you have stepped into. It's not important. It is the attitude that determines whether you win or not. Everywhere God meets somebody in the Bible, the first thing he has to deal with is his attitude, or he can't get him to be useful. He meets Moses. Who am I that I can go and see Pharaoh? See, that attitude will defeat the man. It doesn't matter how much ability he has. Your attitude, when it's negative, diffuses your ability. Gideon said, my father's house is the least in Israel. I'm poor. What are you talking about? It cannot be me. Until attitudes are corrected, a vessel is useless in the hand of God. Useless. We'll look at some of these things later. But let me just mention like some of this. The spirit of initiative. Taking action, not just because you are told, initiating things and staying there till it is finished. If you have to be told to do something before you do it, you are not a leader. There are times you can be told to do something. There's nothing wrong with that. But even leaders go beyond what they are told because they are proactive. They are self-driven. The spirit of vision, always conscious of a better picture. No matter what you are doing, there is a picture inside that foretells and forecasts a better tomorrow. That is what keeps driving you. The spirit of destiny, the spirit of purpose. That one gives you significance. Something in you lets you know that you are not just here. You are needed. Do you know every true leader feels needed? And that sense of significance is what unearthens their potentials. You must realize that you are important. You must realize that you are a solution to a problem. You must realize that God sent you here as a statement to your generation. You have to keep hearing this thing till it sinks.
You have to hear it till he sings. Sometimes while you are preaching to others, preach a little to yourself. I like that. Preaching to yourself. You keep repeating it, your consciousness will adopt it.
I know who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ.
You will see how it will change that your attitude of redundancy, where you don't take initiatives, where you shy away from responsibilities.
The spirit of empowerment. Look at that one. That one wants everybody around you to succeed. You want to push everybody up. People who come around you don't want to leave because they know that you keep adding value to them. And that is why you don't hoard things. Whatever is available to you, want to get it across to others.
Look at the spirit of positive self-image, positive self-concept. It is derived from your revelation of who you are in Christ. Even if things were bad for your family, it doesn't matter what your earthly identity, natural identity looks like. Because some people get good self-concept for knowing who their father is, what family they came from. Everything is successful at their back. But I like what a gentleman said, what lies behind us, what lies before us is not anywhere near what lies within us. I think the gentleman said it another way. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Realize who you are in Christ. Realize the investments God has made in you. Realize how God sees you. Keep repeating it to yourself. Sometimes go and stand in the mirror and talk to yourself. There are some of us who have to practice this more because your damage is far more. There are some of you born under some mysterious circumstances, grew up under some kind of circumstances that have been fighting God's destiny for your life. So you have to work more on yourself. You have to work on yourself. None of us were born this way. Do you know the amazing thing? People learn to treat you based on how you treat yourself. Is that your attitude and the way you are carrying yourself that tells everybody who you are and how you should be treated? Get a positive self-concept. Get a positive self-image. Get those new creation tips. Get it to start working on your mind again. Just because you're a preacher, you are preaching it to others, doesn't mean anything, my friend. Check the style of your leadership. You will know if you have a healthy self-esteem. And the amazing thing is that that concept you have about yourself determines how you treat other people. You devalue other people because you don't have value for yourself. Because nobody can give what you don't have. You don't have it, you don't give it. That's why God tries to give it to you first. He writes a new software in his word to program you positively, to let you know that you have value, to let you know that you are loved, to let you know that you are important to him, to let you know that you are not an ordinary person. When you are corrected, and it's something that will help you, you find a lot of battles going on inside you. It shows you are sick. Because you're supposed to be happy. Correction makes a wise man glad. He thanks the person. He loves the person. But you are feeling battle. You're sick. I said it the other day. It's like a patient trying to kill his doctor. The same doctor is trying to kill him. The doctor is giving him injection. I know it could be bitter. But the man is saying, thank you, doc. Thank you. This injection is painful. Hey. But doc, thank you. Shit, this one will knock down the thing. He said, yes. He said, oh, thank you. But I think you should give me time. Tomorrow, say I can take the next one. You rub the thing. He said, no, rub it. He will rub it. Another person declares war. It's not just the body that is sick. The soul is very sick. Leaders don't just do what they are told. They do beyond what they are told. You know why? They find out that the person who thought out all this thing, if you can think it, I can also. So when you give them ideas, that ideas goes inside them and multiplies new ideas. They don't just eat like consumers. They create. Look at that spirit of creativity, the spirit of innovation. These are the things that make a leader. He constantly finds new ways of doing it or solution to problems. So that's why I said, you can't meet me 3 months and find me in the same spot. These are the things. It's inside. You can't take a step inside and stand still without. It's not possible. All genuine progress begins inside. Slavery mentality makes people redundant. It makes them stagnate in life. The leadership mentality, which is a spirit of creativity and innovation, keeps them breaking boundaries. It keeps them moving ahead, pushing down walls. It keeps them advancing. And then I found that all true leaders, and this separates leaders from tyrants, all true leaders have the spirit of compassion. Why they have the spirit of vision, they are pursuing a goal. They have sensitivity to human needs. They do. Because the purpose of their leadership is to help the people, not to hurt them. Is to move them to another level. Is to change their lot.
is to change their lot. Once you start seeing spirit of competition, you know you are dealing with a slave, somebody that is sick. When you start seeing the spirit of jealousy, he is envious of other people. He is unhappy because they are doing well. You've seen a sick soul. You've seen the wrong attitude. When you start seeing the spirit of redundancy, can't take initiatives. You have to do all the thinking for him. You don't have a leader on the job. When you have a leader over a department, he will be overblowing you with ideas. Next time he has created new, he brings to you. Oh, wow, you say this is good. Just add this. You know, next thing, things will keep moving. You are not supposed to have one department under a person that is not a leader. You just keep advancing. And ultimately, the whole thing is working. But it's a combination of different leadership teamwork. You notice that if you see a genuine leader, they have the spirit of cooperation. Start studying. Because these are things you must cultivate in yourself. But you have to look out for this because there is something greater than ability. It is the ability to recognize ability. You have to know what to look out for. The spirit of cooperation is needed to build teamwork. When you see a person who is not interested in carrying others along, he just wants to do everything alone. You've seen a person who is not a leader. He has a spirit of survival and self-preservation. He's afraid of other people coming in and breaking into his boundary. He feels threatened as if they are going to take something from him. It's just like, look at, I don't know which message I will say that is my particular message now. I want everybody to master it so I can move over to leadership courses and bring God there to master that one so I can move over to the. Because the more you can transcend people, the more you can move ahead. The more you hold people down, the more you are down. The spirit of cooperation, team spirit is called. But the truth is, it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't depreciate me to say something nice about this person so you can do a good job. I want the job done in the hearts of people. The spirit of cooperation. Until you have team spirit, you have not imbibed the leadership spirit, because you won't go far. You won't go far. You won't go far. Team spirit. Pass ball to others. Let them score. The team has won. You must not be the one to score it in a goal. Where you are, you can't score it. If you are in a position to score, score it. Where you are, you can't score it. But you will try to score it, so you keep missing it. Meanwhile, somebody is in a position, you just pass it to him. Strong team or wrong attitude will not win the battle, no matter what. They won't. Attitude affects everything. It determines your performance. It designs your future and determines your present. Like I was making an introduction, like this school. This school is not just to train and give people skill. Or we have to train the heart. The heart is the most important factor in success. The heart. You know the amazing thing? It can be trained. As long as he's willing, he can be trained. It can be adjusted. It can be adjusted. Let this mind be in you, which was first in Christ. What he's talking about is attitude. What attitude? The attitude of meekness and humility. Let this attitude, imbibe this kind of attitude that Jesus had. Even though he was equal with the Father, he didn't hold on to that. He took on the form of a servant. Imbibe it. Attitudes can be imbibed. They can be learned. They can be cultivated. And bad ones can be deleted. They can be changed. And that is a beautiful thing about it, that we have choice to make in this matter. What the state of our heart will be. The scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember that the most powerful force for altering attitude is revelation knowledge. Because the Holy Spirit can assess your heart directly. The devil can assess your heart. He has to go through your senses and your mind. But the Holy Spirit can assess it directly. With one revelation, he can shatter one wrong concept. Confession affects it. Because as you speak, it goes down inside you. Find that tip on how to alter your perceptions in life. The power of perception. Attitude is not a gift. It is something that is learned. It is cultivated. It's cultivated. I can even say that it's a fruit. Because it's nurtured and cultivated over time. So you have the capacity for leadership. You have the calling for leadership. And many of us already have the positions of leadership. But you have to develop the mentality of leadership if you will succeed. You have to develop it. Amen.
I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. For more of these and other inspiring messages, please contact any Dominion City chapter all over the nation or Dominion City Lagos, 11/13 Jumat Olukoya. Phone number 0179-268-79, 0803-718-3623, 0803-351-4993, or email ncftapes@yahoo.com. Still making eternal investment in your life.
And these are the days of your servant David.